receiving what has shown up, and wondering if anybody else had that question. But today, we'll talk about Nanyang's water pitcher. And I wanted to begin by telling you a little bit about Nanyang. Sometimes we don't know who these ancestors are. We don't know their history. And so I can give you a little bit of background on Nanyang. He's considered from early Chan history. 675 to roughly 775, so that's 7th century. He is a student of Huey Neng. And there's a report, it's called the Tzu Tang Chi Report, that says that Nanyang didn't speak until he was 16 years old. And he didn't go out of the grounds from his family's home. And when he was about 16, a monk crossed the bridge that would come onto his property, and he ran to meet him and asked to be ordained. Good story. So that monk recognized that, you know, there was some intention here. So he recommended that Nanyang go to study with Huey Neng. And it was Huey Neng who told Nanyang that he would be a Buddha standing alone in the world. And as I mentioned, he was ordained a successor of Huey Neng. However, after he was ordained, there was a long training period, and then he did go into seclusion for 40 years. Wow. Quite. Apparently, he went to Mount Piya in Nanyang, hence his name. And then at age 85, he was called out reluctantly. He didn't want to go. He was summoned by the emperor, Su Tang, and the request was that he would be Su Tang's personal master. And this isn't a request you turn down. So even at 85, I guess. So he did become Su Tang's master, and actually even his successor. So he has an honorific title. It's called the Teacher of the Country. So that's Nanyang.
Successor to the emperor?
No, to Huey Neng. But he did teach both Su Tang and his successor. Mm-hmm. So Su Tang must have been quite a bit older. Yes?
How long was, did this go on? He was 85, so.
Well, the years that are given are 675 to 775, so gosh, it's 100? He lived to be 100? Wow. I guess it's another 15 years. That's remarkable.
Is he the national teacher, or is that someone else? Because the national teacher is very well known, but I guess that's someone else.
Maybe we should just read the read it, and then we'll. I think so. I think he is, because he has he's been given the title of teacher of the country. So he would be a national teacher.
That's all of China.
You know, I don't know how far the emperor's Tang Dynasty, you know, encompassed. Maybe somebody here knows how large a territory that is. But I'm sure there's a map of China, the Tang Dynasty, that we could... So assume that that's the territory. So who would like to read today? We could have several people. There's two pages here. So this is a complete koan from the Book of Serenity. So we'll go through the introduction, case, commentary, verse, commentary, added sayings, and then added sayings verse. So if several people want to read, that would be okay. We could read what you want, start, and then...
I'll read the introduction.
Okay, you'll read the introduction, all right.
Case 42, Nanyang's water pitcher. Introduction. Washing the bowl, adding water to the pitcher, are all aspects of the teaching Buddha work. Hauling firewood and carrying water are all miraculous powers of sublime functions. Why can't you emanate light and make the earth move?
Okay. Somebody else? Steve? Okay.
A monk asked national teacher Zhang of Nanyang, what is the Vairochana of one's own body? The national teacher said, bring me the pitcher of clean water. The monk brought the pitcher. The national teacher said, put it back where it was before. The monk asked, what is Vairochana in one's own body? The national teacher said, the ancient Buddha is long gone.
Question, what is the meaning of the word Vairochana?
We chant it for our meal chant. Vairochana is Dharmakaya, pure Dharmakaya. It's the essence of reality.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, who wants to pick up commentary? Okay.
Xu Shuang asked Dao Wu, what is enlightenment that meets the eye? Dao Wu called to a novice, who responded. Dao Wu said, add some water to the wash basin. After a while, he asked Xu Shuang, what did you just ask? As Xu Shuang was about to repeat it, Dao Wu went back to his room. Xu Shuang thereupon had insight. Dao Wu first used a body block saying, then afterwards used a body throw gesture. As he didn't run afoul of the point and hurt his hand, Xu Shuang had an insight. The national teacher, because of his kindness and compassion, had a conversation that went down into the weeds. But those who appreciate his benevolence are few. Tiantan therefore gathers flowers and scoops water. His verse says, birds coursing in the sky, fishes being in the water, in rivers and lakes forgetting, in clouds and sky they get their will, the doubting mind a single thread, before the face a thousand miles, knowing benevolence, requiting benevolence, how many people do?
Nick, do you want to read? No? Somebody else? Cheryl?
Commentary. The flight of birds in the sky, the fish in the water, their roots are ever more peaceful. Their life is ever more harmonious. Once they said, when the spring is dry, the fish together on the land puff at each other to moisten each other with wetness from their mouths. This does not compare to forgetting each other in rivers and lakes. Zhang Master Dong Hui Gui from Bai Chao said, it is like flying birds in the sky. They don't know the sky is their home. The fish swimming in the water forget the water is their life. Gui Feng said, the fish are not conscious of water. People are not conscious of air. Illusion is not conscious of reality. Enlightenment is not conscious of emptiness. Usually the personal Vairochana, complete pure awareness, manifests form in the human realm as soon as it is questioned. Suddenly a shadow appears. You forget the blessings you have received, turn away from your parents and go to strangers. Ultimately, if he can get rid of the spiritual seat, only then can the son take up the father's work. But tell me, what is the father's work? When brought up, there's nothing that's not it. Don't doubt its use.
Okay, Holger.
Added sayings, case. What is Vairochana in one's own body? Have you changed your name? Bring the water pitcher. Don't forget the story. The monk brought the pitcher. Don't misapprehend. Put it back where it was before. The teaching is reiterated. Again, what is Vairochana in one's own body? Where are you going and coming? The ancient Buddha is long gone, not far from here.
That is saying verse. Birds coursing in the sky, encountering it everywhere. Fishes being in the water, using it right and left. In rivers and lakes, forgetting. This side, that side. In clouds and sky, they get their will. No right or wrong. The doubting mind, a single thread, is just on this mountain before the face, 1,000 miles. The clouds are so deep, you don't know where you are. Knowing benevolence, requiting benevolence, think of this, stay with this. How many people do? One child has personally accomplished it.
Well, any thoughts on the added verses and commentaries? Did they clarify?
The first two lines, original being, natural mind, birds, flies like a bird, fish swims like a fish.
Mm-hmm. In the verse, you mean? Or, yeah.
That's what you asked.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, should we start at the title? What do we know? We know something about Nanyang. What do we know about a water pitcher? What comes to mind when we think of water pitcher?
Fullness and emptiness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think some people didn't hear you.
Oh, I said fullness and emptiness.
Okay.
About the essence of water.
The essence of water, okay.
It's a vessel for holding emptiness.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of a way to control the water without the vessel, the water would be useless. It's a place to put the water in.
Mm-hmm. So it has a purpose. Mm-hmm.
We can fill the pitcher, we can empty the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Water as life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's without the water, but you can't swim.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live. And also the water, you know, the air is affected by the currents of the water, which of course is going to affect the birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the pitcher is a metaphor for the body, what happens when it's empty?
Are we empty?
Oh, of course.
There you have it.
And likewise, the water pitcher is a holder of fullness.
So washing the bowl, adding water to the pitcher are all aspects of teaching. Buddha work, hauling firewood, carrying water are all miraculous powers of sublime functions. It certainly elevates the ordinary of things that we might think are quite, you know, mundane, and discount that activity as not being.
How many of us actually heard the master?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And such things like things like hauling firewood and carrying water have meanings.
Well, I think they're everyday activities. They had to heat the temples, and I don't think, well, maybe they had forced air, but not kind of.
No, I think when they refer to mail, didn't that mean under other specific?
Oh, I see what you mean in terms of a metaphor. Well,
Holly? Is that the question?
Right. I don't know if they're. Do you have any sense of them being metaphors for anything?
I got a sense of the whole introduction sort of saying all this mundane activity,
mm-hmm.
like hauling firewood and such. It's all ordinary daily activity, and it's also Buddhist activity. But then the last sentence he says. Why can't we even go farther? Or why if we're Buddhas, or if this is Buddhist activity, why are we sort of stuck just hauling firewood and doing water? Why can't we emanate light and make the earth move? Why don't we have powers or something like that? In other words, it's saying why is, given that we're Buddhas, why are we conditioned? Why do we have conditioned existence? Does anyone else get that sense?
I kept thinking of ordinary mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what, when I read that, I was thinking of ordinary mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is all Buddhist activity. This is all, we all the work we did in work period,
mm-hmm.
in work period, was all Buddhist activity. Mm-hmm. And since it's Buddhist activity, it should be limitless, right? And we should be able to emanate light and make the earth move. So that's a question in the introduction.
That's the monk's question, too, yeah. mm-hmm. when he's looking for something special.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the most accessible one. I'm obviously a novice. This is really accessible out in space. I mean, it just confuses ordinary activities with the sublime and illuminates and elevates. and I'm experiencing that here myself, really ordinary experiences, especially when you're doing it for someone else and requiring benevolence toward others. It's almost like the fish swimming and the birds fly. That's what humans do. Mm-hmm. Give to others and do human activities are ordinary.
In your own realm, right? Like the fish in the mm-hmm. water and so on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Essentially human, to give and to do service in a human form with the wood and the water. It's just very accessible.
I'm thinking, to address Michael's question, I'm thinking maybe they're asking that question because it's saying you can. Maybe. I mean, you know, you can do these wonderful things. You can carry water. You can haul firewood. And you can. And you can, maybe you feel like, oh no, I'm just a little, think about it again.
it's an introduction. He's sort of setting the stage for the mm-hmm. case, so we have to keep that in mind. So he's kind of saying, what's up with the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't? Since we're all Buddhas, since we all have Buddha nature, why can't we just do anything or just be limitless with power? So he's kind of, that's the setup for the case, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to the case.
Right. Yeah. So more thoughts on the case here. We have here's a dialogue now. A monk asked National Teacher Zhong of Nanyang, what is the Vairochana of one's own body? The National Teacher said, bring me the pitcher of clean water. The monk brought the pitcher. The National Teacher said, put it back where it was before. The monk asked, what is Vairochana's in one own body? The natural teacher said, the ancient Buddha is long gone.
Well, he tried anyway.
Yeah. There are several subtle differences between the first and the second
mm-hmm.
question. How did the pitcher change, make the question different?
You mean which
The first question was, what is the Vairochana of one's own body? The second question is, what is Vairochana in one's own body?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good catch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it a typo?
Could be with this person here.
Before we get too deep,
right? Go to the source.
That worries me because weren't these things handed down?
Oral transmission, too.
Right. let me see. Bring me the picture. Okay. What is the Vairochana of one's own body? What is Vairochana in one's own body? It's as
though just bringing it had yes. made that subtle shift.
Mm-hmm.
A difference in the question that the monk expressed.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that he got his answer? The answer was the second two sentences. And then he said, well, mm-hmm. but I have another question. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I like the answer question. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the ancient Buddha was the one who was emanating light and making the earth move.
There you go.
Vairochana is referred to in the next page as pure awareness.
Yes.
Sublime awareness or something like that. Of
everything, yes.
It's the fifth rank.
Yes, we'd also say Buddha nature. That's the essence of things, of being, would be Vairochana.
So does the asking the same question pretty much twice indicate first, or one is of the phenomenal world, and the other is asking the same question of the universal and the absolute?
Sometimes that is a yes. That is that can be a structure in koans. In this case, there's a little bit of a shift in the question. So it and then the subject is, to me, it's about more of Vairochana is the pure Dharma, Kaya is, you know, the essence of things. So, you know, the question is about, to me, it's about Buddha nature and what is Vairochana of one's own body? What is, you know, Buddha nature of one's own body? And then, you know, the monk is asked, well, bring me a pitcher of clean water. And so how is that expressed in that response? So it's a kind of a call and response. And so to me, the if we go back to the introduction where we have everything that we do is all Buddha work, right? And everything is Buddha, is Buddha nature. So even the action or the request to bring the water pitcher is also the same. No difference there. How does it... And then, you know, the shift is then, what is it? And then it goes to what is Vairochana in one's own body? What is the one's own body? What is? It's the same.
Does it seem like both the introduction and the case follow the same structure in that the introduction begins with sort of a general... talking about are all these various things are all miraculous powers of sublime functions. Then he specifically says, why can't you emanate light and make the earth move? And in the second, and in the case, he's talking about like an aspect of the body of this vessel. And then he's sent on this little errand. But then he says more specifically, what is this in one's own body,
mm-hmm.
But I don't get the answer to that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so you see the more of the from the general and then to the specific is what is that. Do I understand
that's
you?
How, that's
yeah,
how
that's
how I'm asking.
Yes, yeah, it sounds like that's what's happening. Mm-hmm.
So you don't think that he asked the same question twice, and the teacher just kind of said, "Okay, you didn't get it." You didn't get my answer the first time. You didn't understand.
That was my first reading. When I first read it, I thought the monk failed. And it was like, forget it. But actually, you can read the natural teacher's response. The ancient Buddha is long gone. Might be interpreted as no need for a Buddha here. No need for Buddhism. The Vairochana, the Dharmakaya, is existent here. There's no need for a manifest Buddha. Sorry, Dharmakaya is complete in itself. Mm-hmm. There's no need for a Buddha. So actually, this monk, I think this monk got it. I mean, on second reading, it seems like what is the vairochana of one's own body, and what is the complete manifestation of everything, the realization of everything? How is it here, right here, in my body, in this time and place? And the national teacher said, just do a chore, just mm-hmm. function, mm-hmm. Just carry wood, just chop water. And he did it. The monk did it. He went and he got the pitcher of water. And he got the pitcher of water, and then he said, okay, mm-hmm. put it back. You're finished. And he said, and the monk, for confirmation, the monk said, is it inside my body? Does it exist right here?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's no need for manifestation. Mm-hmm. The Buddha is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Dharmakaya exists. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't. I just the second reading. But yeah. Did anyone else get that hint?
That the picture represents Buddha, the historical Buddha. I don't know, there was just some feeling I got of that when he brought it in and took it and he said, put it back. The Buddha's not here anymore. You know.
Yeah, yeah, it could be that too.
And right. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha comes and goes.
So,
yeah.
It's not that it's like we don't need Buddhism anymore. I mean, it's like it's in us. You know. Mm-hmm. He came, he brought it to us. You know, take it away because we, you know. It's ours already.
I was thinking of something very similar, clean water, being a symbol for suchness, that each person has this suchness, and he was telling the monk that, no, you have it, you know. And the taking the picture back and forth was activity, which we need to participate in.
Like, show me your true nature.
Right.
Okay, right. Fine. Mm-hmm. Just put it, return it to its source or something.
Right.
Something like
and
that.
And the monk comes back and says, well, it's in me, right? You know, it's here. And the national teacher, I think, was doing that whole, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. You don't mm-hmm. have to.
He confirmed it by saying there's not mm-hmm. even a need for a Buddha
right.
here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the underlying teaching of no coming or going, that's in like the jewel. Is it in the jewel mirror? Somebody too. There's no coming or going. Blah 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 blah. It's anything said or not. But it's like it just is.
Blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
Is anything said or not?
Yeah, right.
Ultimately, it does not
apprehend
anything
right.
because it's speechless.
No. Right, but I think there's something about no coming or going. Mm-hmm. Did you think of it in another chant?
I was thinking, but I don't remember.
Where? Come on, you have to think. Where? See, we get these flashes. Anyway, there is a teaching about no coming or going. I don't know if it's in this one.
Does not go or come, nor rise or stand. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's a little different translation than the one I'm used to. Somebody else had a comment earlier?
Mm. I was wondering, along with what you're saying, is it meant skipping ahead when states the ancient Buddha's long gone, but then it appears to be ostensibly, initially, a contradiction, except for the Buddha's last time from when he's here. Here now it says he's gone, but not quite here.
Yeah.
Does that mean the Vairochana is here? Or? Is that the here that it's being referred to? First, I had some hope, not far from here.
Well, it's always here. How did you phrase that when you were saying that there's no need for, you know, because it's already complete, right? Vairochana is already present.
Vairochana, Dharmakaya, is actually the same as the host within the host, mm-hmm. isn't it? I mean, comparable yes. to the host within the host.
Pure
it's
essence.
Completion, mm-hmm. it's non-differentiation, or mm-hmm. something like that. So.
Oneness. Pure essence, it's the essence of all things.
It's in one's own body. What is it? What is that within one's own body?
I was thinking about that whole thing about, you know, like a hair's breadth deviation and you miss the whole thing, and the picture being near or far, that, you know, you know, you could be right on top of it at some times, or be one with it, and other times you're like really far away or further away from mm-hmm. it. And you know, the same with that second part, that it's very near, but we're not always open to it. So you know, that little hair's breadth deviation, and you miss the whole thing. You know, it's right there.
I have those issues playing golf. A hair's breadth deviation. Man,
you're in the bunker.
I'm in the bunker.
You're in a place with no grass. There you are! 10,000 miles.
Are we ready to discuss the commentary? This is so we have a dialogue going on here too. What is enlightenment that meets the eye? Add water to a wash basin. So it sounds similar to what was in the case. What might be different is the this response of the body block and
sounds like football.
Yeah, body throw gesture. There you go.
That's what I thought of,
Dharma
combat.
Well, you mentioned those yesterday.
Yeah, there are structures within koans. Right, blocking the small self. So if you think about the body block, where he, you know, instead of, so how does he accomplish that by leaving, right? A body block, he leaves. So he's not, and how is he using a body? You know, that's just really interesting. He's back, right? Turns back, right? And then the body throw, which is.
But I mean, you think about it, that how much in life that we do that is by gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we don't even realize it. I mean, it's really, it can be so easy to read someone just by looking at them, mm-hmm. you know, or how they carry themselves or react or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's, no words need to be spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Body language.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Now, he didn't hurt his hand, so do they employ some sort of physical, are they practicing some form of martial art that's referenced here, but not obvious to those that don't know about the background? He didn't hurt his hand. So there was some physical gesture going on here between the two of them, right?
Well,
the body block?
Yeah, but a body block.
Saint, a body block saying.
Yeah.
They used a body throat gesture. But somebody didn't get hurt.
And then a body, right? Maybe did him a flip or something.
See,
from the previous call.
See, I don't know. In Zen, is there is not Dharma combat, right?
During Chuso, there is Dharma combat.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen Dharma combat, and you know, I can, you know, it's all about, again, we're back to body gesture, and you know, you're just talking about interaction between the minds. So it's no physical contact or anything like that. It's discussing, I mean, this whole thing is about discussing the Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that what Dharma combat is? I'm not familiar with that.
Tibetan
monks will have discourse and they'll ask each other questions.
There's a form to it, though. It's a debating form.
It's like they study, and then they're supposed to have Dharma combat to discuss what they've been studying.
A lot of gesturing. Mm-hmm.
And it is. I mean, when you see them do it, there is these body movements, but there's no touching. There's no, you know.
Yeah, it's not real combat.
Yeah, you know, it's mental combat.
I've wondered, reading about this, that at that time in the monasteries, if there was, besides the spoken mm-hmm. word, if there was a kind of auxiliary language of gesture. Because we hear a lot of, in these koans, we hear a lot of, where someone will turn away and walk away,
mm-hmm.
or will make a certain gesture,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like we have these mudras and things, but
I think they
might have had some kind of language,
physical language
that mm-hmm. conveyed a meaning.
Right, mm-hmm. I always took it because in Dharma combat, it does have a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I always took it when, you know, like talking about turning and walking away, and I always took that as having a meaning to it.
I think they may have communicated a lot more than we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Not by words, but by physical action.
Yeah.
I was thinking in the Shuso ceremony, I know that when we have the staff, you have the horizontal and vertical, and there is the Dharma combat. At least we experienced it in where we'd have a question and answer, and any student comes up and asks the question. Right. And yes, you can
use distance before you.
That's right. Right.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. Help. They don't get whacked.
Thank you. Close.
The staff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big staff.
Yeah.
It was a big staff. Excuse me.
It's a walking staff.
No, I read a little Zen story that was supposedly happened, you know, back in the days when you were wandering monks and stuff. And it mentioned something about Dharma combat, and it was just gesturing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was in China?
Very funny story, actually. You know, I don't know. I'm amazed that I actually remember this story, but I don't remember if it was in China or did it.
So where can we witness this? Is there examples on YouTube or something?
Sports channel.
Yeah. Sports channel.
It's on the sports channel. It's going to be a new
No, is it going on today?
We experienced it. Both Dean and I experienced it with our Chusseau. And I remember pounding of the, using the staff, pounding it twice. And, you know, there you go. See, you know.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, we also can flip it and, you know, you can do different things with your staff. And
they're asking you questions?
Yes, people can ask you questions, right?
Yeah, the whole song that takes turns.
Right.
And they just kind of come forward and present their questions.
Are they trying to best you?
It varies.
Yeah.
No, it's actually sincere.
Yeah.
Sincere inquiry of a Chusseau is a head student, a student who leads the practice period, and there's a sincere inquiry on to learn that head student's understanding.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, supposed to be probing to make test the teacher's understanding.
Yeah. Even the teacher, like Copen, would do it periodically, so it's not just the teacher or a training thing.
Right.
It's done.
That's true.
Yeah. I think after like a as part of a retreat, at the end of it, there would be a question and answer period. Remember Tigan for that?
Tigan was a good one for that. Where you'd come up and you'd do prostrations.
And then you get your question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it could be asking about what kind of season the Cubs were going to have. I remember
that's right.
To a really, you know, sincere.
Like
Japanese tradition to ask that question in verse or something like that and have the teacher respond in verse.
Well, we're Americans.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're, you know, verse-oriented, but, you know, yeah.
But
we
the
could.
Verse would make it kind of prepackaged, whereas it's more spontaneity just coming up. And
The question's spontaneous?
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes they're limited to a topic. So, say, in the practice period, you studied a certain text or a certain teaching, then all the questions would be about that teacher.
Yeah, that's in the Tibetan what I saw.
But in other Chusseau ceremonies, it's totally open. Anything you want to
depends.
Dean, I remember you telling me that one of your answers to one of those situations was a gesture that you took a broom and you put it in the closet.
That was the question. That was part of the question.
That was part of the question.
Yeah.
To
them.
tell us.
Dealing with the five ranks. So actually, yes.
That's right. That was my Chusseau material.
That was. So this would be a good example.
So he came up and asked.
What did you ask me?
Well,
I don't remember.
If you remember.
No.
Yeah, no. You never remember any of that because I don't either.
It's a kind of tense moment.
But as Val had mentioned yesterday, I think Yunyan was Dongshan's teacher, and many of you may be familiar with the koan that's come down to us. It's being called the one who isn't busy, and Yunyan is the main figure in that, and Dawu is in there too. So it's another Yunyan Dawu koan, where they're out busy work period, they're sweeping. And Dawu comes up to Yunyan and says, "Too busy." Smart ass.
They were brothers.
They're actually
brothers. Oh, Yunyan and Dawu are brothers.
So you get that sibling. so Yunyan's response is, "You should know there's one who isn't busy." To which Dawu says, "Well, you just created a second moon. You created a duality." And Yunyan takes his broom, holds it up. Which moon is this? So, for Dharma combat, I go over to the utility closet and just off the Zendo, grab a broom, and walk up to Val and give a bit of a prologue, setting the thing up is Yunyan in this famous teaching prop of his, and I hold it up and go, which rank is this?
And what did she answer?
She answered, no rank, which is, of course, Lin Chi's great teaching, to be a true person of no rank. That was one of his teachings. I said, actually, a student of Lin Chi.
Momentary response. You know, what can I say? Prajna, prajna. Thank goodness. Rely on prajna paramita. That's it.
It'll get you through.
It'll get you through. Thank you. So there you go, Dharma Combat.
Birds coursing in the sky, fishes being in the water, in rivers and lakes forgetting, in clouds and sky, they get their will. The doubting mind, a single thread, before the face, a thousand miles. Knowing benevolence, requiting benevolence, how many people do? You think that means before the face, a thousand miles?
The doubting mind, a single
mind.
Hmm?
I mean, I look at the doubting mind, and you know, I know several things that I've read over the years that have talked about doubt, and that to have doubt. I mean, we should be firm in our practice, but we also should not, and Pico's just reading that again in Shahaka, but not just take the word, but to look at it and study it and question it.
Yeah, practice verification.
And so the doubting mind is a little bit of a base.
I was thinking maybe original face. You know, your original face is one, is often another metaphor for suchness, oneness, the universal. And a thousand, before the face, before you experience your original face, at the, you know, thousands of miles, you know, the road. Traveled.
The crooked road.
Crooked road, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I look at. You're talking about the doubting mind, and then you're talking about that that thousand miles that isn't just a straight thousand miles. You know,
right.
It's yeah.
I get
the mountains and the valleys and the rivers and the, yeah.
Is that then the knowing benevolence, requiring the benevolence, the original basis? The knower of benevolence and the traveler is the one who requires it.
What are your thoughts? I'm not sure on that. If I can answer your question.
What does requiting mean in this context?
Where's that dictionary?
Throw it away.
Is that what it means? Releasing? Or
responding to it.
Responding to it?
Satisfying.
Satisfying.
Knowing
quite it or not.
Right. So I get the feeling that this is indicating that the case, the interpretation is that the monk didn't understand the teaching.
Did not.
Because the national teacher because of his kindness and compassion, had a conversation that went down into the weeds. But he did it anyway, because that's what he does.
I love this because it's just so Jungian to me. It's talking about, and the Metzger's, it says explicitly, it says that the shadow, which is a quintessential, as soon as there's question, suddenly the shadow appears. A shadow in Jungian terms, what happens to a human being when they dump all their toxicity and their problems. From the first time you're born, you have that face, according to Jung, anyway. And then the more we question, the more we doubt, whatever that means exactly, the more the toxicity or the shadow or the dumping ground of all our stuff grows. I mean, it says you use the word shadow, it's hard to say that conclusion.
I think the doubting, when I look at the word doubting, I think it means to study it. You know, that's, it's always come across to me that when they're talking about doubting, it means you need to look at it and you need to study it and you need to really, you know, fully understand it.
But it says usually the personal Vairochana, complete pure awareness, manifests from the human realm. As soon as it's questioned, suddenly a shadow appears. You forget the blessings you have received, turn away from your parents. So it seems to be almost a warning. Maybe we just dispute or disagree.
This whole case is about doubt, right? Because the monk is asking for verification, and you know, how do I see enlightenment? So the verse is. You know, just saying that doubt makes us blind, I think, even to the benevolence of somebody who's trying to open our eyes.
And doubt is considered one of the five hindrances?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to get rid of the spiritual seat, the no rank. Only then can the sun take up the father's work.
Sometimes isn't the sun in, I don't know in China if they had that same tradition where the son has to follow the father's footsteps in becoming the temple priest?
I don't think in China they didn't marry. Like in Japan, the temple priest.
Yeah, but it could mean a spiritual son also.
Yeah.
Understand it.
The fish swimming and the bird flying, that's a common metaphor in Zen, because I know Dogen uses those as well, so those are
Genjokon.
And they continue that on the next page with the emptiness is the water of the Vairochana.
So then you go back to that the fish can't swim and the bird can't fly if they don't have the water, and they, you know, so it's like if you don't have the teachings and you don't study the teachings. That's what we need to do. And of course, that's what he's talked about here.
Do you know the teaching of a single thread? Do you hear that? I know it's somewhere, but I don't. A single thread? I have to look it up. Okay. The doubting mind, single thread.
But then what is the father's work could be a reference to the original teacher. What does he do?
Or the Vairochana, or Dharmakaya, the host within the host. So the fish not noticing the water, that they're connected with the water, and the bird not noticing that they're connected with the sky, obviously, is like we're not aware of the Dharmakaya, the Vairochana, of the undifferentiated reality that exists. Mm-hmm. But we're swimming in it, or we're flying in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of it being all around us. And it's like them, the water's all around them, the air's mm-hmm. all around them. Yeah.
This is an interesting parallel to this that may or may not be true, but in physics you have quantum reality, or quantum physics is the ultimate reality, and underneath all that is something called the Higgs field that gives mm-hmm. it a substance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that maybe the Vairochana...
Isn't the Higgs field have something to do with dark matter?
No.
Uh-uh.
Dark, matter, dark energy is a puzzle.
Oh.
I don't think we know that one yet.
What is the Higgs field?
It's the, sort of the basis for quantum physics, and particularly particles,
mm-hmm.
being substance. Otherwise, they'd all be flying around without any mass at all.
But is it anything more than just description of how things work, or is it an actual field? Or?
It's a real field, as far as we can tell.
Isn't it when you observe it? Isn't when, and that in Higgs, I thought when you observe it, it becomes a substance. It moves out of the world of the quantum in the sense that it actually is in the realm of possibilities until it's observed.
Mm-hmm. There's that phenomenon too.
And that's not part of the Higgs.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It's trivial difference, I think, but for our level, it's just that when you get to the bottom of physics, it's kind of mystical what this
mm-hmm.
is, and they call it now the thing that's most understood as being the basis, and also most inexplicable is this field.
Mm-hmm. So what tool do we see it?
You go over to the largest super collider.
Smash those things together.
You have to go to CERN if you experience it. Yeah, Switzerland. Yeah, right.
Call CERN.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because isn't it just like in the last year or two that they
were?
Yeah.
They've been speculating it for 50 years.
Yeah.
Or is this a particle? Yeah. So this is why. This is Dharmakaya, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In a way,
mm-hmm.
it's a
mm-hmm.
Dharmakaya.
Except that, how can Dharmakaya be particular? Particulate.
Also, feel.
The feel.
How can it be described?
Well,
physics is filled with those contradictions. It's a particle, it's a wave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes one works, sometimes the other. Mm-hmm. Description. That's one.
I thought the wave particle distinction had been eliminated. I thought it's all waves now. Everything is a thing.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I thought they eliminated the distinction between waves and particles. But
it's still a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't eliminate it, they just stopped worrying about it.
Probably not.
I saw an interview about it. He said they'll disprove all of it anyhow, so we're out around it. So it's
funny. Don't make the point there.
Are we done? Yeah.
I did have one question.
going back
a few days.
A few days? Oh no! This is a test.
It's just a few pages.
in your mind.
I'm curious. How is the structure? These are structured. Case 100. Case 72, both are introduction and case. Case 89 is an introduction and case commentary and verse. and then Master Dogen's verses.
And the question is?
Well, why is it that, just curious, is it, why is there just an intro and a case in here, but we, you know, suddenly we get to introduction, case, commentary, verse?
Well, it's to, you know, just to work with the mind and loosen it up a little bit.
They all
have it.
They all have commentaries.
Yeah, oh, and verses.
All hundred,
all of them.
All hundred of
right.
them, yeah.
Oh, I see.
So right. there's a, if you really want to study these, there's the Shoyuroku, the Book of Serenity, which
right.
these came from, right?
Right, these yeah. are the, yeah. they're from this book.
And that's from the Soto tradition, from our, from the Soto tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And then there's the Mumon Kan, and it's a collection of, it's comparable. There's a lot
yeah.
of crossover, right?
Right. Sometimes you see the same koan in different
yeah.
texts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different commentaries, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's different
so, strictly speaking, then, the koan itself is all of this inclusive, this introduction case.
Yeah,
the koan itself is just the case. Just the case.
Just the case.
Just the case alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this stuff gets added on, like
the verses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the introduction, too.
Yes,
yeah.
that's added
yeah.
on, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a similar question. The five ranks, is that Soto teaching, or is that...
Yes. Dongshan is... well, it comes out of Dongshan, who's 9th century. And he is actually considered the...
Founder of Soto
in
yeah.
China. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's,
and then it comes
the,
from...
Called
yeah.
the Zhao Dong School.
So,
And then in Japan, it got... Zhao Dong became Soto.
So does it represent some kind of, like, step-by-step progression of...
It's actually... Well, the it's more of a framework of... because five ranks mean ranks itself is translated as position, if you look at the character. So it's like more about a position in reality. Are you in the phenomenal or are you in oneness or ultimate reality? And then the interplay of those two.
So people who've had enlightenment can move around among these ranks, or...
Well, I think that actually we probably have some experience of all of the ranks in as you practice, particularly, you know, the interpenetration is in terms of when you're actually in having an experience of... really not caught in, you know, the mental activity. You're in the activity itself, and there isn't the separation that, well, I'm doing this now. You know, you're actually one with the activity. And so we have some experience of them, but, of course, there are degrees of these experiences. And so how one... experiences, it doesn't mean that you haven't had them or that, you know, I guess I'm struggling because it's not a really viewed as a progression, and because I think people can have these experiences, it's just a matter of how intense that experience is and how complete. But actually, Dongshan had prepared a parallel system, which we'll talk about tomorrow, and that's the 5 degrees of meritorious achievement, or that's really more about the stages and of practice, and so that it applies a little differently. And maybe I know you're going to probably be here tomorrow, you might, you know, get a sense how they differ. Yes.
I go back to Meister Eckhart. Would you say that seeing is one level, and knowing another, and feeling another, and being the final? Because those are easier to appreciate.
Hmm. I don't know if it's quite the same, but...
I might interject that the five ranks themselves are not used as technique or process within the meditation experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. Usually in the Soto tradition, it's just sitting, shikantaza. So it's more that the five ranks are an expression or a description of how things work, or how life itself manifests, rather than a progressive technique.
Right,
wouldn't you say so?
Right, yeah. It's not a progressive technique. Yeah. The other is that the reason it was brought up first is that we were looking at then koans to see how in koan language, or even in Dogen, both fascicles and from Shobo Genzo, or in Dogen's extensive record, he moves from one position in reality, like the phenomenal, and then moves into the ultimate within a phrase. And so he may repeat the phrase, or he may flip you into the ultimate in how he's using the metaphor. So this is really just to help you penetrate those koans and Dogen in a way that it might make it more accessible. If you know that there are these systems out
so
there.
Can you, like, as we go through these koans, and there's the case, the intro of the case, the commentary,
mm-hmm.
would one be in one rank, say the commentary, and the case might be in another rank?
Not necessarily as much as phrases in there. Yeah, yes.
By the ranks, we are here to experience Buddha nature. And Buddha nature described is actually such consciousness in words. But ultimately, it's an experience which can't be described. So it has many words. Normally, you'd experience that in meditation or sitting. First, you might experience it when the pitcher spills water inside, but they are spotty. They get more frequent. They get more integrated. So sometimes you may see within the real world enlightenment. Sometimes you come out of meditation with some enlightenment and see the world. But ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you sit and meditate or you chop wood, it's all the same. The experience is permanent. That's the both together. So there's no difference between sitting in meditation and drinking tea. There's a simultaneous perception of the absolute and the relative, and they're no different. So it's sort of, you know, five ranks. It's kind of, it's not really a progression, it's sort of, absolute is absolute, so there's no progressions into the absolute. It is.
Oh, I've got a sixth rank.
Yeah.
I've got the sixth rank.
That's no rank. The man of no rank. No rank. There you go.
We forgot.
That was really well put. Great description.
Thank you.
Wow. Awesome. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand his comment better. What's the difference between the ultimate and the universal?
It's a different word. Just
the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Big point.
Well,
yeah,
did
everything is practice.
That's it?
Yeah.
I think there's a... It's one of the lines is even when brought up, there's nothing that is not it.
Yeah.
Nothing that is,
yeah.
Everything is practice. And Dogen says practice is realization. Realization
so anything,
is practice.
So anytime you're doing something, it's the same as zazen?
With zazen, right? Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, it's the same. So, yeah?
So we don't have to sit. I thought she was going.
Yeah, we know where you were going, right?
You know, like we have to live, we have to do all these things. You're like mundane, and yet, what was the word? Sublime functions or whatever.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then, practice nothing is mundane. Enough.
Right. One mind. Well, thank you all for this incredible work that you've all done. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we should chant out.
Were you ever going to tell us anything about this?
I mean,
you gave it to us in the beginning of this whole thing.
Well, you want to read it to us for one more time?
In the bottomless bamboo basket, I put the white moon. In the bowl of mindlessness, I store the pure breeze.